Vintage Radio Network.
Boys, I'm mellow as the honeydew. Yeah. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio, we have a repeat guest from last week, Nick Jarrett. Welcome back to the show. Good. Nick's here today to talk to us about the United States Bartenders Guild. And we're going to switch mics. There we go.
Cool.
Awesome. Today we're talking about the United States Bartenders Guild, the USBG, of which Nick Jarrett is the secretary,
right? Yes, sir, absolutely.
How did you first become involved with the USBG?
Well, I first became aware of the United States Bartenders Guild probably around 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. It had always been a professional organization. It's been around for a number of decades now. Sort of an offshoot of the UK Bartenders Guild in the 1930s. And it's always been pretty central on the West Coast and Las Vegas, Nevada. And became aware of it while I was bartending down in Philadelphia. And thought it was a fantastic idea. Saw the gap and the need for an organization for professional bartenders. Mm-hmm. USBG seemed to fit that bill. And over the past couple of years, it's slowly been working its way onto the East Coast.
Yeah, you know, it used to be more of a common thing for there to be, you know, different bartenders guilds,
sure,
and unions back in the day, in, you know, at the height of
absolutely
classic bartending. And it's really a great thing. It's a great resource for a lot of bartenders and industry people today.
Well, yeah, I mean, a large part of the cocktail resurgence has sort of come around, at least in the field that we're bartending in, through communication, the internet, people getting together, being able to freely exchange information. And that's moved us forward by leaps and bounds, but what there still is a need for is to meet physically. Mm-hmm. While we have all these great forums for exchange of information on cocktails, theory, spirits, product, so forth, what we're still working on is something for, you know, workplace, bartenders' issues like health insurance, all that sort of thing, which, you know, the internet is good for, we can discuss about, but requires a little bit more of a mobilized group of people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when you say that, you know, the connecting of different bartenders and bar managers and people in this industry, that's actually one of my favorite things about the USBG. Going to these different events, like different mixers. There's a monthly mixer.
Monthly mixer. Every month, yep.
Different bar every time. Then there are also some trips involved and different events as well. The last time I went to Philly was actually
because
we talked a little bit about that
on
the last show last week. But it was a really cool trip because, first of all, you get a bunch of bartenders together early in the morning. It's like wrangling cats. But it was really cool, like getting to hang out with you. Frank Cisneros, who's going to be a guest on the show next week.
Good luck with that.
Frankie Cocktails.
Sure.
let's see. Who else was... I mean...
Tanya Guffey.
We had a bunch of folks
down. Jonathan Pogash, obviously.
Right. Former president.
It was
Charlotte
a whole crew.
Rossi was there.
Yeah, Charlotte, I think, rolled down.
John Henry from...
I'm a little spotty on some of the details.
I think
we discussed last week.
It's to be understood.
But it's a great opportunity. And the way that that works is basically the USBG works with different brands, of course, and offers them basically the opportunity to do some education. Mm-hmm. Two bartenders, and they, with their deep pockets, help subsidize the cost of, you know, goodwill trips between chapters mm-hmm. across the country. There was also a trip, I believe, recently to Chicago and a trip to Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was on the Boston trip. I didn't get to go to Chicago, unfortunately.
Sadly, I made neither, but I hear that was something to regret.
Yeah. but when these trips happen, and for instance, like the Philly trip,
sure,
you know, it was the USBG New York chapter going down to the Pennsylvania chapter, hanging out, networking, getting to know all these bartenders and know each other, and really creating more of a circuit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, what it's done is, you know, again, it's another of those avenues, like the internet, that's really helped sort of take scattered regional markets Like, I mean, it, as recently as like 4 or 5 years ago, you could still talk about like West Coast bartending.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a little bit of a differentiation there. But back when cities were more separated, like, you had regional sort of enclaves where there were very different ways of doing things. One of the things that's made New York great as far as what we do is that we've sort of, you know, achieved these consensus ideas, which
right.
is, it's like, all right, well, through a lot of trial and error, we mostly agree that this is the way that we make a Manhattan.
Right.
Sharing that between cities is pretty dope because it means that we get to integrate the lessons that everyone's learned on every front.
Right.
And each city and market has different strengths over the others, as well as, you know, weaknesses and different tools available. The more that bartenders get to travel around and meet those people, the more that A, we become a community, and B, we get better at doing what it is that we do.
Yeah. I kind of like that idea of what we were just talking about. It's like the standardized, like, book of cocktails from city to city.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the USBG puts out a standardized cocktail book.
Down the road. I always said that one of the great things about Manhattan that pushed it forward in the beginning was that Manhattan was one of the first places that really came up with that sort of consensus specification idea.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
totally.
Manhattan, even 5, 6, 7 years ago, was you could go to 9 bars, order a Manhattan, and you get 9 Manhattans that were very close.
Right.
That's one thing that we had down pat pretty early. There were other cities where you could go into 9 bars, order a Manhattan, and get 9 totally different drinks.
Right.
But, you know, that with some of the fresh produce, green market ideas, more organic and conservation-minded bartending, you know, that's been coming from the West Coast, sort of the more rough-and-tumble Philadelphia scene, the Boston works, Chicago has its own stuff going on. All that getting tied together is a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah. Coming into the studio right now is Jason Luttrell, the president of the USBG.
Hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief. Have a seat over here. And morning. Welcome to the show. Put those on. All right. So we were just talking a little bit about the basically introducing the USBG, talking about its reach as far as different cities go, talking about Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston. I was actually, a year ago actually, I was down in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest.
Sure.
And I got to hang out with Bill and some of the other kids, and Mindy Kuchin from Anvil. The USBG Texas chapter, which was really cool.
Yeah, they just formed.
What's that?
They just formed. Oh, sorry. Yeah, they just formed. Dallas and Houston, I believe, are both now chapter members.
Just tied together.
San Diego, Boston's on the way. Oregon just organized.
Oh, great.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah, I mean, we were also talking about, you know, how getting together with these different chapters, we really kind of, like, standardize the way that, like, cocktails are made. But it's not just about the cocktails.
No.
Let's kind of let's focus back on the what the USBG... Oh, he's wearing a USBG shirt.
I just happen to have the shirt on, too.
So let's talk a little bit about the resources that are available for members of the USBG. Besides, like, obviously, like, the connection between different chapters, different bars, different bartenders.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's not just about making drinks. We are absolutely, first and foremost, a professional organization of professional bartenders. We are not actors mm-hmm. waiting for callbacks. We're not musicians that, you know, that don't have work. We are professional bartenders. This is what we do. I can't imagine doing anything else. But, you know, we've got a whole lot of many initiatives underway right now. Like we're thinking about forming a touch football league,
right?
Which would be a total mess, but
oh man, but, disaster!
Total disaster. Like arms would be broken. But speaking of broken arms,
no shaking cocktails after games.
But we also, on a national level organized some basic health coverage for our members.
Which
right,
is massive.
That's
for
huge. That's that's one of the newest developments with the USBG. Right. I mean,
totally. I think one of the freakiest statistics I've heard lately was something that Jason mentioned, which is something like 80% of professional bartenders have no health coverage whatsoever.
Right.
And the 20% that do, they have it. It doesn't come through their employer.
Sure.
Which is shocking. I just got back from San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and there's a I believe it's a 4 or 5% tax on every bill, and it's called the Healthy San Francisco.
Oh yeah, yeah,
initiative.
Yeah, San Francisco.
And,
totally.
And so
I was out there a couple weeks ago as well, and I noticed that on the check. Yeah. And I asked, I was having lunch with USBG member and great bartender Ryan Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. We were having lunch at the Zuni Cafe. We had the chicken, because you have to do that.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
But we're looking at the bill, and I had to ask him, I was like, what is this 4% charge? So can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely 100% familiar with it, but I'm to understand that if for your full-time employees, depending on the size, depending on how many employees there are in the restaurant, there has to be some sort of basic coverage that's provided by either the city or the county or the employer or a mixture of all those things.
Yeah.
So I mean that's a very awesome step. I mean, like, realistically, I don't see that happening in New York anytime soon. Because
no way.
I mean we bitch and moan about every little penny on our bills anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like 4% is like right. like might as well be $1 million.
Right.
But we do like members of the USBG do have an option, a reasonably priced option for basic medical coverage.
Sure. Cool. And it's a physically strenuous business, as we all know. I mean, like, injuries do happen. And
absolutely.
I mean, we just threw a benefit for a bartender who was injured, actually.
Absolutely. We're raising an enormous amount of money, too.
Tim from
Tim Monahan from I'm sorry. We probably shouldn't mention his name. I guess it's too late now, but there's a bartender who was he had a very serious head injury.
Yep.
Nobody actually knew what happened, but his branch got together and we had an event. Thanks so much to the support of like Lupec, New York.
Time Out New York.
Especially,
God bless Jordana. Totally.
Jordana, and especially Lynette Marrero put this whole thing together. Yeah. Just legends. Totally.
But, you know, I mean, it's best to avoid having to throw benefits for people if we can get people covered in the first place.
Absolutely. But, you know, bless his heart, he's walking around and he's back conscious again. And he was in a coma for a while, I believe.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Real serious drag. Yeah. And like, you know, there's... You know, 5,000 plus licensed establishments in New York, and that means however many bartenders that is. And most of those people are running around without anything at all.
Sure.
Yeah, especially like you were saying, in a you know, you're throwing kegs around in a walk-in, you know, and pull out your back, or yeah, maybe you're carving an ice ball and put an ice pick through your hand.
Fingers, exactly.
One of our employees actually did that the other day. It was,
check out this baby right here. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I worked an event recently that I had to carve a bazillion ice balls.
Sure.
And those things are sharp, I gotta tell you.
You know, it's funny, ice gets really slippery, and ice picks are actually pretty sharp.
That's crazy. And it's like you're supposed to put cold things on lacerations, but all I wanted was my mom.
You wanted to put your mom on your laceration?
Yeah, that's okay. All right, thank you for weird. Twisting that around.
You know, it's really great that, you know, this community could come together and put together a fundraiser for him.
Sure.
After having this injury. But the whole, like, wouldn't it be nice side of it is exactly what we're talking about with offering health insurance. And, I mean, it's a good thing that we can get together and do that. It's just, it would be nice if we didn't have to.
Yeah,
nice as it is to get together.
Well, it's remarkable how small our community really is. I mean, even nationwide.
Tiny.
Tiny. We. I don't know. I gotta thank Facebook for this, I guess.
Sure.
We all know each other, and we all are aware of what's going on, and we all transfer ideas very extremely fluidly.
Yeah, when it comes to professional bartenders, I mean, there are a hell of a lot of people in the service industry in the United States of America. And there are a lot of bartenders, but many of them are people who are just using it as sort of a way station on to other things.
Yeah.
And there's a huge demographic that it's something they're doing to pay themselves through school and so forth. But when it comes to professional bartenders, professional hospitality people, it's a small, tight-knit community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
and it's funny. It's like people think that like we take our cocktails very seriously. Like, these are things that we enjoy doing very much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, America, we like to drink too. We like to laugh our asses off too. It's like, you know, it's like people have a vision of us being very pretentious and like, you know, not like, you know, like browbeating people and looking down.
When I think of the ridiculous things I see bartenders drink amongst themselves, it's
totally.
That's part of the reason we created the show is to give insight to what
actually goes on,
put some personality to the bartenders. Speaking of the show, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. We're speaking with Jason Luttrell and Nick Jarrett from the United States Bartenders Guild. Back in a moment. We'll be right back.
following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Thursday at 1 p.m., Heather Hyman and Aaron Fairbanks explore the real roles in building a strong community and sustainable farm system. They get nitty-gritty with the people producing our food. They explore distribution networks, dissect policy issues, and converse with some of the nation's most important agents for change to examine current events in the world of agriculture and food. Join them every Thursday live at 1 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network, where all is grist for the mill.
And we're back. Our guest today, well, now we've transitioned over to just Jason Littrell, president of the USBG.
In New York.
In New York, not worldwide.
Yeah, there's a whole national branch.
That, right. Actually, who's on the cabinet for the national branch now?
Let's see here. It's thank you so much for putting me on the spot.
Sorry.
The national president is David Nepo, also known as Mr. Mojito.
Right.
He's done a tremendous amount to organize this on a national level. Just like launching a website, a comprehensive website that we can keep all of our membership stuff in track, you know.
Totally.
I've only been doing this for a year. I took over for Jonathan Pogash.
Right.
A legend. You know, like the things that he accomplished in the first 2 years of the New York chapter of the USBG are very, very commendable. And I hope to pick up where he left off.
Absolutely. As we were speaking, what we were speaking about before the break, as far as like health insurance for bartenders and, you know, some of the other developments, you're doing a great job so far.
Cheers.
With the help of, you know, Hal Wallen is the treasurer, and Marshall.
And Marshall RTA is the vice president of the chapter. Yeah. Cool. And, we pretty much work as a pretty tight unit. I mean, we don't really do anything, every piece of communication is subject to committee. All minor and major decisions are we all decide together. And it's really cool because, you know, we're all electronically savvy and we respond to things really, really quickly. Cool. So we're a very light-footed operation.
Awesome.
The object of the game is to get to clarity. We're not a, I don't want to use the U word, but what we do like to represent ourselves as a group rather than individuals because we are much more powerful that way.
Right.
So that's
power in numbers.
Absolutely. And that's how we were able to negotiate on a national level. Mm-hmm. Some reasonable health care.
Cool.
And dental care.
It's so helpful, man. I mean, the USBG in general is so helpful, not just for the fact that now there's healthcare plans in the works, but we were talking a little bit before with Nick Jarrett about just like the networking capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are bartenders that we kind of tend to be transient, I wouldn't say jet set, but we do travel around a lot.
We don't exactly color inside the lines,
right?
As far as traditional professions are concerned.
Totally.
We work 9 to 5s like everybody else. It's on the opposite side.
Yeah, it's 9 at night till 5 in the morning.
Exactly.
it's really great to have the USBG as a resource for networking and connecting with other bartenders and other bars in other cities. We teach as much as we learn. You know, if anyone has even like a couch to crash on, you know, like
yeah, you
stuff
know
like that,
yep.
Even outside of it, it's just like a nice, it's a really cool network. And it's, again, you know, with the availability of like research and development for your own bar, like mm-hmm. when we went down to Philly last year or a couple of years ago, we went down to the Philadelphia Distilling Company, mm-hmm. where they make Blue Coat Gin, Vieux-Carré Absinthe, and they make also a rye vodka. Just visiting distilleries and learning like processes and learning as a group and like having the capability of checking these things out and learning more and more every day, every time you take one of these trips, it's priceless information. And, you know, I mean, obviously there are dues to pay in the USBG.
Yeah.
But it's not It's not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you, I tend to equate things in terms of how long it would take me to work to earn that. So it's
right,
like for less than a shift a year, you get access to all these benefits. Or in my case, for about two shifts a month, I get health benefits. You know, it's like that kind of thing. You know, and just you know, like further down the road, like we're going to be initiating a plan to keep everybody working, you know, like bars open and close all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, mostly it's mostly the crappy ones that close, but,
well, they're,
yeah, they're, I mean, they're, I mean, there's a quite a few good ones that close too, but, yeah. But the thing is like, you know, there is a very small amount of scrutiny in joining it. You do have to be a working bartender, or you can have a different type of a membership as an enthusiast. Right. But primarily, we are largely, I'd say, 85-90% working bartenders, like professional bartenders.
Totally.
And so, like, there's going to be things going on down the road where we're sharing jobs, and like, so we're all aware of you know, and like, you know, I can picture a world of complete an organization of highly qualified bartenders that never have to worry about getting a job again. You know, like this is something that I think is another value, because we all transfer information about like, hey, well, I got this thing going on and I think they're looking for somebody, you know, like that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And as far as those kind of developments go, like that's to me one, like, having like personalities behind it and people that care and people that are actually like that have valid concerns and hopes for the, I guess, like bettering the entire like workforce for what we do. It's like it's really nice to have you guys like doing this and like going to bat for us. And
hey, we're all pitching in, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Like some people pitch in with their membership dollars. Some people pitch in their time. Like,
absolutely.
It's like we're all contributing. Like all you have to do is really like all you have to do is care about what you're doing, and then you are improving, like the overall quality of life for bartenders everywhere. Like there's totally. Like the era of bartenders who don't even, you know, consider what they do, don't have any consideration for what they do. Like those days are pretty much drawing to a close, I think.
Totally.
You know, we're back. Awesome. like the old days, you had to be a professional to have a job. Like now, like, you know, in the days where you don't have to be a professional are kind of rapidly coming to a close.
Speaking of rapidly coming to a close, our show is going to be ending in about 4 minutes or so. We have a couple other things I want to discuss really quick about the USBG. Outside of the health insurance, outside of like these trips that we get to go on, we do end up doing a lot of events for, like, you know, say like the Manhattan Cocktail Classic or the Tales of the Cocktail event down in New Orleans every summer. The USBG typically like goes out there and like recruits bartenders to join in and make these events happen, which is a really cool thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is really cool as well is like we talk about this on the show. Typically, every bartender that's come on the show, we definitely talk about the cocktail competitions, and the USBG is definitely a part of a lot of cocktail competitions, which is really cool.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we have I was actually just working on this today. We have the USBG, the third annual USBG cocktail jam coming up on the 28th of March at Astor Center.
Oh, cool.
And that's we're going to nominate 12 bartenders who have contributed to the USBG to compete for a $2,000 fellowship to Tales of the Cocktail.
Oh, nice.
Which means that that means like it's a flight, a Founder's Day pass, and a hotel room for Tales of the Cocktail. Nice. Which is, it's basically like, I mean, for your listeners who don't know what Tales of the Cocktail is, it's like all bets are off.
it's like
we drink a lot, we work a lot, and we laugh our asses off, and it's awesome. Awesome. But that's in July in New Orleans. But so we're offering one of our members a trip to that for just for making a good drink.
That's great. That's great, man.
Yep.
Anything else that is coming up in the future of the USBG that you can talk about, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like we're actively trying to get our foot in the door at MCC. So that,
that's the Manhattan Cocktail Classic.
Manhattan Cocktail Classic. To have our members working the events, because you know, they'd be crazy not to hire us. Like, we all know
exclusively, like, not USBG, or,
well, like, honestly, there's not enough of us to, like, this.
Well, a lot of us want to go to the Manhattan Contest. Right, right. We want to go to the gala at the New York Public Library.
A lot of us want to go, but you know, like the this town is going to be scrambling for bartenders from May 14th through the 18th.
Oh my God! Well, I'm not going to be scrambling for radio show guests.
Right, right. No, everybody's going to be in town. You may want to pre-record a few.
Yeah, shows. We're going to have to pre-record some stuff and. Yeah, I'm already booking some stuff.
Yeah,
in preparation for that.
Speaking of that, I'm really humbled you'd have me on. I mean, you've had like Thomas Waugh, Brian Miller, Nick Jarrett.
Oh,
these
man,
guys
it's
are
my
monsters.
Pleasure to have you on, man.
These guys are legends.
No, it's great, and I really appreciate you coming on to the show and talking about the USBG. We'll have to have you back sometime to where we can talk more about. Like your personal, like, bartending side of things.
There is no me anymore. I just work. I'm a volunteer for the USBG. That's a full-time job in itself.
Thank you for coming on the show then. I understand you're very busy.
Of course.
So great. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. My guests have been Nick Jarrett and Jason Luttrell from the US Bartenders Guild, New York chapter. Nick Jarrett's at Flatiron Lounge tonight, and you can catch Jason Luttrell at Death & Company, and you're at Dram
sometimes? I'm at Dram from time to time, but yeah. Death & Co. on Saturdays and Sundays.
Cool. I do want to mention real quick, speaking of organizations that are bettering the entire scope of what we do here, just like the USBG, there is going to be an event at Del Posto on Sunday, March 27th, as a fundraiser for the Museum of Food and Drink. There are going to be a lot of really great chefs and really great bartenders. I'm working it, actually. So, me and Thomas, we'll be there, as well as Jamie Gordon from Pernod Ricard, Audrey Saunders from Pegu Club, as well as Kenta. Go to, dude, Kenta. He's awesome. Evan Clem, we don't really need to talk much about him because everyone kind of knows that guy. But it's going to be a really cool event with a lot of great chefs. Mark Ladner, David Chang. It's going to be a really, really cool event for a really great organization benefiting the Museum of Food and Drink. So if you're available on Sunday, March 27th, it's going to be in the afternoon. Really cool thing. And I want to thank my guests again, Nick Jarrett and Jason Luttrell from the USBG New York chapter. Thanks for coming on the show. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Foods USA. In late March, Dan, Andrea, Patrick, and the Heritage team are traveling to the coldest reaches of the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont to help the Cantor family tap sugar maple trees. Then the maple sap will flow down to the sugar house where it is boiled gently over a wood fire just as it has been for generations. Just a few days later, this grade A amber syrup will be poured into the beautiful glass jugs and sent to you for pancakes, waffles, desserts, glazing hams, or just drinking by the spoonful. There's only a limited supply, so order today. Each 1-liter bottle is $45, including delivery. Delivery will be at the end of March, and we will notify you of the exact shipping date. Each shipment will include a CD explaining the whole process. You can also follow us on YouTube while we work and bottle. In the meantime, you can head over to the Heritage Radio Network archives and listen to Linda Palacio talk about maple syrup on her show, A Taste of the Past, Episode 12. For more information, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com. A public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Join Wine Impresarios Aaron Fitzpatrick and Brian DeMarco as they dish out on the latest industry news with winemakers and tastemakers on Heritage Radio Network's revamped wine show, Unfiltered. Aaron Fitzpatrick, one of the first hosts on HRN with her program At the Root of It, amps up the volume and unfiltered content with co-host Brian DeMarco in this 2011 Redux. True to the original format, Aaron and Brian will keep you abreast of current happenings and break down the news and global events, distilling complex into anecdotal stories that inspire. From media and political events to hailstorms in Argentina, no topic is out of bounds. Tune in every week to hear them chat up the industry's biggest personalities and host on-air tastings with visiting vintners and the country's hottest sommeliers. Whether you're an expert or an enthusiast, Unfiltered demystifies wine and lets you know what it really takes to get a bottle from the vineyard to your neighborhood wine shop. Unfiltered broadcasts live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network.